Hi, I'm John Trader, Director of Communications with Right Patient, the healthcare industry's most flexible and scalable biometric patient safety and patient data integrity system, supporting any form of biometrics, including fingerprint, finger vein, palm vein, iris, facial, and voice recognition. Our mission through these podcasts is to help educate, inform, and inspire through conversations with leading professionals for information, analysis, and opinions on the biggest issues and challenges in the healthcare industry. Welcome to today's podcast. Today, our topic centers on health information management, more commonly known by the acronym HIM. Health information management is defined as the practice of acquiring, analyzing, and protecting digital and traditional medical information vital to providing quality patient care. I'm delighted that Aaron Head has joined today as our guest to talk about HIM in healthcare. Aaron is an active professional in the healthcare field as the Director of Health Information Management and Quality for an acute care hospital on the East Coast of Florida. She is heavily involved in many HIM and HIT initiatives such as information governance, health data analytics, and EMR implementation. She holds the credentials of Registered Health Information Administrator, Certified Health Data Analyst, and Certified Healthcare Technology Specialist. Aaron has also served on the board of directors for the Florida Health Information Management Association and is currently serving as CCHIM Commissioner, which stands for the Commission on Certification for Health Informatics and Information Management, with the American Health Information Management Association, also known as AHIMA. She is also the author of a weekly healthcare blog, which you can find at www.healthcarescene.com. And is very active on social media, where you can find her at AaronHead_HIM on Twitter. Thank you for joining us today, Aaron.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Let's begin our discussion today by addressing the growing and dangerous problem of duplicate medical records and overlays in healthcare. And for those of you who are listening in who are not aware, both duplicates and overlays are caused by patient misidentification. And for all intents and purposes, a duplicate medical record occurs when a single patient is linked to more than one medical record, and an overlay occurs when one patient's medical record is overwritten with the health data from another patient's record, creating a combined inaccurate record. And I'd like to begin by talking about specifically the problems of duplicate medical records and overlays. And really, HIM departments in hospitals are the ones that are directly responsible for reconciling these duplicates and overlays, which can often be a really painstaking, time-consuming process. And so I want to begin, Aaron, by talking a little bit about that. Can you start by describing how duplicate medical records and overlay reconciliation impacts your workflow in the HIM department?
Sure. So we have some software that we actually use outside of our EMR that we use to monitor this. And so we have a couple of people in the HIM department who monitor this daily, up to three times a day, even running reports and looking for any potential mismatches or duplicate medical record numbers, because what we want to do is capture the correct medical record number before all of the documentation and orders and medications begin to go in on the chart. So we try to catch it up front as soon as possible. And so, as I said, we could have one or two people three times a day running these reports, and it's definitely an additional task that we put importance on, because we know we need to do it. However, it's kind of a unfortunate situation that we have to monitor it so closely, but we want to make sure that we get that everything set up on the medical record for providing the care, as well as after the patient leaves, that we have the right information on those charts.
Makes sense. Are there other job responsibilities that are sacrificed when you run these duplicate and overlay reports and actually have to go to the point of reconciling them?
Absolutely. So it's taking time out of each person's day to do this task. And then there's also the follow-up with our registration departments and any other where the patient is, the unit that the patient is physically located on. So there's a lot of communication that has to take place. And then there's a lot of making sure things are correct on the back end, that definitely that time could have been used for something of a different matter, but that's the way we have to do it today.
Okay, thanks for the insight, Aaron. I appreciate that. I would like to shift our attention to full-time equivalents in the context of resources allocated to cleaning duplicates and overlays from a master patient index. Aaron, I read a research report from 2009 by our friends at Just Associates that estimates 5 health information management full-time equivalents are often allocated to cleaning up 1 duplicate medical record or overlay. And in addition to that, AHIMA just released a report stating that over half of HIM professionals surveyed still spend a significant amount of time reconciling duplicates at their respective healthcare facilities. So, Aaron, my question for you is, based on your own experience, what is the average full-time equivalence you spend reconciling a duplicate, and what are the average full-time equivalents that you spend reconciling an overlay? And if there is a difference between the two, what do you account for the difference in the time spent?
So actually, we feel the downstream effect for multiple people within the HIM department, but no one person is devoted specifically to doing this as a full-time job. However, the downstream effect of any of those implications will take some time out of each person's day. So if we're trying to get a chart scanned, the people scanning the chart may have issues because of an overlay or a duplicate. So then the coders definitely, they could see potential issues with documentation not on the correct chart or documentation for the wrong patient, or just in general any of the implications that happen from a duplicate or an overlay. So while it's not devoted full-time equivalence, it's definitely affecting each area and each person who is going to touch that record downstream. So we could probably add that up to 1 or 2 full-time equivalents if you really got down to it, of how much exact time each person is spending on it.
And let me ask you, Aaron, thank you for the feedback on that. The differences between reconciling a duplicate and an overlay, is that something you can easily identify with in terms of the FTEs that are required? So, for example, I read a report that was from quite some time ago about a particular hospital who had numerous overlays in their master patient index, and some of the HIM staff were spending weeks trying to reconcile these overlays. Is there a difference between reconciling a duplicate versus an overlay? In other words, is one much more complicated than the other? Are they both, in your opinion, would require the same amount of resources to reconcile?
I definitely think the overlays would take a significant amount more time, because some of them can be tricky. You know, some people have maiden names, middle initials, things that can get transposed, or someone could have mistaken that person was the daughter or the mother instead of the patient. So I think the overlays can definitely be a lot trickier, because of sometimes you may not see it right up front. It may not be noticeable, but then digging in a little deeper and taking that time to actually go in and look at all the different scenarios of how this patient could have potentially been an overlay, or someone could have potentially registered a new patient on top of another patient that was established. So definitely more complicated.
Okay, thank you. Many people may not know that HIM departments are responsible for a variety of tasks that include coding, preparing, indexing, and imaging all paper medical records, releasing patient information when a patient requests their information in any type of format, analyzing active medical records to ensure all diagnoses are accurately documented, processing documents for aftercare agencies to facilitate follow-up and continuity of the client's care. So taking all that into consideration, Aaron, what I'd like to ask you is, what can you tell us from your own experience on what type of financial impact it may have on the hospital if FTEs that are currently cleaning up duplicates and overlays could rather be allocated to more revenue-generating activities like coding?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just your salary alone, but then when you start to really look at efficiency and streamlining your department for all the other tasks that need to be done, and definitely things that get put on the back burner because they may not have that urgency that the patient duplicates would have an urgency So by putting other things on the back burner, it's putting the still important tasks, but they're having to wait. So I think a financial impact could definitely be by losing that efficiency and losing productivity hours that could be used towards more important, less urgent tasks that the VHIM professionals could be doing.
So as far as the hierarchy of tasks that HIM is responsible for, the reconciliation or the identification and reconciliation of duplicates and overlays takes precedence really over anything else.
Right. So it's kind of that first thing in the morning, that first thing of the day is going in and running the report and then making sure to keep running it throughout the day to make sure no additional issues have come up throughout the day. So it's very important.
Yeah, it's great insight because I really wasn't aware that that was the first thing that HIM departments did when the workday begins, is making sure that you're keeping a close eye on these duplicates and overlays and dedicating all this time to be able to reconcile them. So I'm starting to get a better picture of the effect that these two things have on your workflow, your resources, your FTEs. So thank you for the feedback on that question, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a bit more about quality versus quantity-based care and how this affects HIM. Healthcare has kind of been traditionally been driven by a fee-for-service, volume-based model, which rewarded health systems and providers for seeing and serving patients. But with the Affordable Care Act and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services shift to value-based care, quality, not just quantity, has taken center stage, which I know, Aaron, you're very familiar with. And I want to ask you, Aaron, how has that shift from quality versus quantity-based care impacted the responsibilities and sense of urgency for HIM departments?
Well, I definitely think that having a focus on quality should also stream into the efficiency as well, because by doing higher quality, like you're saying, versus quantity, you really want to put a lot of the emphasis on every little task and every little piece of the medical record. But we also want to make sure that it's still efficient and the process makes sense every step of the way. So I think we've definitely shifted towards the focus of we want to keep patients out of the hospital, so we want to make sure all their information is available up front to prevent readmissions. We want to make sure that the record is available to anyone providing care, whether it's inside the hospital or within the ancillary departments or within the physician office. We want to make sure they get that information timely so they're not repeating tests, they're not repeating unnecessary things that they would have known about if they had had that access to the information. So we really are focusing on that, keeping everything high quality, but also being efficient and making sure that it's readily available whenever it's needed and ready to go out into the right direction and wherever it's going.
So thanks for the feedback on that. HIM departments have always been extremely important to the inner workings of a hospital and accuracy, correct billing, et cetera. It seems like this shift from quantity to quality-based care has really raised the bar for HIM, is kind of reading between the lines what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, definitely. And it's also given us a little more insight to population health management as well, because of that, you know, going beyond the walls of the hospital and now, you know, making sure that information is available in the community. We're now bordering the integrated care and the population health side of things as well. So it definitely has expanded the HIM responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost HIM, at least in my opinion, are really the unsung heroes of what happens behind the scenes at hospitals. I don't think you guys get enough recognition, and I don't think people place enough importance on exactly how difficult your job is, which is one of the reasons I invited you in to be on the podcast so we could learn a little bit more about what happens in the trenches. Thanks for the response on that one.
No problem.
So in their 2014 Patient Identification and Patient Matching Report, the ONC estimated that the cost to reconcile a duplicate medical record is $60 per record. And when we read these reports, it's interesting to get someone like the ONC to comment on that, because obviously they're a very trusted authority. But I'd like to ask you, Aaron, do you feel that the ONC cost estimate of $60 per duplicate is low, or is it high compared to your own experience?
I think that's actually a pretty, it's probably pretty accurate for the average. Sometimes definitely more people are involved and definitely more steps are involved in each process. So I think on an average, that's probably pretty accurate. However, I have mentioned that we also have the software that we've purchased to do to help us manage duplicates. So again, that's another cost on top of salaries and efficiency costs, but we're now spending money on supplies that we need to do this task. So I think it's definitely, it seems way too high, but it also seems accurate based on, you know, my experience of what I've seen and heard from other peers as well.
Thanks, Erin. I appreciate the feedback on that. I want to talk about HIPAA for a moment in the context of duplicate medical records and overlays. And my question, Erin, is can you describe the impact on HIPAA violations that duplicate medical records and overlays cause?
Definitely. So if you know, the number one goal is to keep that protected health information secure. And when we have potential duplicates, or if a duplicate is created that may have not been caught, this definitely has a HIPAA implication downstream when that patient comes to request their records or that physician gets a copy of those records. And if anything, if there's an overlay, if there's any additional information that does not belong to that patient within that chart, that's definitely a huge issue for HIPAA violation. And so I think it's definitely important to catch it up front. And we hope that all of our efforts are catching them up front, but there is that in the back of your mind thinking that a potential duplicate that goes unnoticed could potentially lead to a HIPAA violation with it getting into the wrong hands.
Which is obviously a very serious consequence. And once again, you know, understating the importance that HIM plays in the overall picture of a hospital's finances, because you know, HIPAA violations are usually monetary and, you know, as far as the repercussions. So certainly hospitals want to try to minimize that as much as possible. And just out of curiosity, Erin, if a hospital does release information to the wrong patient, what is the cost to the hospital?
It would all depend on the situation and whether or not it was a true violation or a lack of training, lack of understanding. So it really would depend on the situation whether or not it goes to the extreme to become a fine defense. So I don't know if I could really put a dollar amount on it per se. It would definitely be dependent on the situation and could potentially be unwanted costs.
Right, absolutely, which obviously hospitals and health systems want to minimize as much as possible. Again, I know I've said this before, but it really is a testament to the importance of HIM in the overall picture, especially when we talk about patient data integrity as well as the financial repercussions of releasing information to the wrong patient. So thank you, Erin. Erin, let's talk about mHealth and the rise of new tools and points of entry for patients to access their health records, particularly the patient portal. And I know as an HIM professional, you've been watching this very closely as we've seen the evolution of the digitization of healthcare, all these new touch points popping up for patients to be able to access their protected health information. And I wanted to ask you specifically about the patient portal, Erin, and what I wanted to ask was, what can you tell us about how the introduction of the patient portal has complicated the management of duplicate medical records?
So we have kind of treated the patient portal, releasing information to the patient portal, in the same method that we've been controlling the internal records that we're storing. So it's not necessarily made it more complicated. However, we do, part of the login process for the portal may include the medical record number. And if the patient knows one number, but there's additional information on it, an additional number, or again, if the wrong patient information is in that chart, then there's the potential of either the patient not having access to what they were told they would have within the patient portal, or they're having access to their information as well as someone else's information. So I think it's opened up a new outlet for the information, but we definitely still control our processes the same way we have with that in mind as well, to say, wait a minute, are we checking all of the points of where this information is going?
Thank you. I did want to ask you a side question on that, Aaron, and just based on your own experience at the hospital system where you work, have you seen a lot of patients that are signing up for the patient portal? Has adoption rates been high?
Yes, and we've definitely been pushing that with meaningful use, and we've definitely put an emphasis on it, and we have an actual person devoted to that task of making sure they're troubleshooting the patient portal and advertising it and meeting with patients and helping them walk them through it. And it's definitely been a focus for us because we see that as a value, and it's a part of the patient experience of having that information available to them so they can control their own healthcare and be able to monitor what's going on with them.
Thank you, Aaron. Finally, I'd like to get your thoughts on the rising use of biometrics for patient identification and how this may impact HIM in the context of lowering the burden of reconciling duplicates and overlays. The idea, of course, is to eliminate duplicates and overlays, but I think one element that often goes missing or unnoticed or not addressed, is to implement technology that sustains patient data integrity. I hear story after story about hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars that health systems spend in order to cleanse a master patient index from duplicates. But then on the front end, there is really no technology that's implemented in order to prevent those duplicates and overlays from happening. So my question, Aaron, is, how would the implementation of a biometric patient identification system help to lower the burden of reconciling duplicates and overlays and allow you to focus on what your core responsibilities are in the HIM department?
Well, I think it would definitely be probably a safe method to make sure you're talking to the correct patient and getting the right information for the patient. However, it would definitely require a lot of front-end setup work to make sure that you're identifying the patient first, and then you're assigning the biometric parameters with that patient. So it's going to require a lot of work to get to that point. But I definitely think it would change things, and it would make things more trustworthy, where you wouldn't have to run all of those reports and do all of that follow up. So it would definitely make it efficient. But I think the front end impact is what's going to be key in making that successful.
Thank you. So theoretically, in your opinion, the implementation of biometrics for patient IDs is a positive for the HIM in the sense that it does lower the burden of reconciling these duplicates and overlays because they're not being created, and maybe allow you to focus your attention on some of the other responsibilities we talked about earlier, coding, indexing, paper medical records, et cetera.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the feedback on that. I'd like to take a moment and thank Aaron for offering her time and insight on the role of health information management in healthcare and for providing us with her feedback during our discussion today. For more information on Aaron, you can read her blog posts at www.healthcarescene.com, where she blogs for John Lynn on health information management. And please follow her on Twitter under the handle at @AaronHead_HIM. I'll be posting all this information on our podcast page as well. Thank you so much for your time today, Aaron.
Thank you.
This concludes our podcast for today. We hope that you enjoyed the topic and our guest, and encourage you to tune in to future podcasts where we interview industry professionals on topics that relate to the healthcare and biometrics industry. For a full list of all our podcasts, please visit our podcast page at www.writepatient.com/healthcare-biometrics-podcasts. See you on our next podcast.